Thank you. from the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. We read verses 4 and 5. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 4 and 5, Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers were cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Matthew 11th chapter, verses 4 and 5. From this question that John, as he sent his disciples, these two to take the message to Christ, the inquirer, are there he that should come, or do we look for another? The undecided, a decision that they didn't know in their own heart, and John sent these two to inquire of Jesus himself. Art thou the Messiah? Art thou the Christ of God? Art thou the Savior that should come into the world to make a way of salvation for sinners? This was the inquiry. And we may well ask ourselves in the first place this evening, is that inquiry concerning Christ himself, concerning his person? Is it found in our hearts too? Do we believe he has been, or do we look for another? Is there something of a mystery surrounding the person and work of Jesus Christ to us that nothing has been clearly revealed to us yet? Let us ask ourselves that question. Because sure I am of one thing, if nothing else, that clear divine revelation is the only way for you and I to learn the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. It's no good becoming a bookworm, friends, and learning, because you will fail, and so will I. Clear divine revelation by the Holy Spirit of God is the only way to learn it. And if you are an eye brought to any holy decision, I should put it in that way, because I don't want to give you any idea at all that I have any quarter for anything in the way of free will, because I haven't. If I speak of decision, it is this: the Holy Ghost that works in the heart and brings the sinner to be decided about the Word of God, about what is in it, to be decided concerning Christ himself as being the only one way of salvation as the Son of God. Now it is his power, and no man can truly say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. I believe that truth. I believe it. All is dark, all is made, all is wild, all is anything but a mystery. You say, I can't see Christ, of course you can't. And you can't understand it, nor can you comprehend it. Now John, the forerunner, sent before Christ to go forth in the wilderness. Let us remember this. Raised up for him were disciples. He and his disciples. The inquiry, art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? What are we going to do? Have I been about this business and now I am shut up in prison? You consider this. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent his two disciples. You may be in prison, I don't know, in your soul's feelings, in the mysterious works of God, the leadings of God. You can be in prison. You can be in prison in a providential way because the Lord has shut something up against you and anointed, you may have many worries and many worries and ifs and buts in your heart and in your experience. I often do. And I have to go to the Lord and say, but why is that, Lord? Why is this so like it is? Because he says, he will be inquired of by us. And if it was not for these things, we shouldn't inquire. John had to inquire. He sent his mouthpieces to inquire. He desired to know. And now I want to come after that little opening to see what the answer was. He said, unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. I will remember, if you will pardon me for bringing this, I think only once in my life have I tried to preach from these words before, and it was at some anniversary years ago. And in that chapel that afternoon there was a man whose name was John. And he was truly dejected spiritually. The Lord has smote him in such a way providentially that his pride had been truly cut to the quick. And I thought sometimes he had never been raised up. And then another time I would say to him, well, John, you will yet praise him. You will. Well, this afternoon, you know, this all I got, go and show John again those things. Tell him about it, little man. And you know, the Lord made that this afternoon to that poor man like you. Like you. Oh, he said, you have to come and tell us about it. Tell us about it. He said, I believe that it is the Lord. I believe it is the Lord. You see what the Lord does, he raises. He has the power to do it for you. Look at our last part, or the Lord's last part here. He said, in the different cases, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and the poor will have the gospel preached to them because they have these other complaints. And these other complaints are sadly ones, you know, they make them to feel extremely sorrowful when they're found in these conditions. But you say, well, there's nothing wrong with me. I am in full health spiritually, as well as in mind, as well as in body, but there's nothing wrong. Well, I'd rather you say to me, look, I am a man. I am blind. I am man. I am dead. I feel dead and I need to be raised up. I am poverty stricken, and there is no gospel only by which the Holy Spirit can apply to my heart. That's the only one. You can't find it. You may, some of you, feel, well, I don't want to hear you preach, man, if you won't leave us a little. But you can't have anything, friend, but Christ. Nothing. We've got a nature that wants to scrape a little bit up, and they're all is nothing worth. The Lord makes me to feel that's true. You think what it is. Went back to tell John the cases which would be attended to by this gospel being preached to sinners. Has it ever reached home to your heart? It has mine. Oh, the early days, how I often now go back to those early days when I felt such a hunger for the gospel of Jesus that I could say I sat down under his shadow with great delight and its fruit was sweet to my lips when it dropped like dew sometimes, like rain and and other times if you were taken to the very fruit tree and plucked the very fruit off and you felt, this is Christ, this is the gospel. Now all these complaints, the blind see the ways of God. Nor can any of us, if we're in that condition, we don't know how many different things have I heard in my time, and different ideas of different people. And sometimes some of our own, what we would call people who meet with us in our circle, and then those varied ideas that some of them have concerning Christ or this gospel, and it's almost alarming, you know, because you say, well, if that's the way, I'm afraid I'm a stranger to it, or else they are, and you don't want to be yourself, nor do you want them to be. If you apply, you are by nature, you have no spiritual solitude, you know your way to Christ. You may be blind, but you may hear his voice saying, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. How do you labour if you're blind? You try to stagger along in your blindness, don't you? You need a guide. You need him to hold your hand. You need him to direct in his kindness and in his love. You're blind. I'm blind. And before our eyes are open, oh, what a terrible condition we are in. I often think of the poor things in our day now, and many of them that are taken by surprise by the terrible violent acts, you know, and all of a sudden their souls are in eternity, and they're in the midst of all the jollifications, as they call it, of this time sense, and in a moment their souls are before God. Die. And it may have been us. When I read of it sometimes, I think, oh dear, what a mercy to have had my eyes opened, I hope, to see my condition, and then to have revealed to me a precious Christ, who is the only way to God, the only way to peace, the only way to heaven. Has he ever opened your eyes? Has Jesus ever anointed them with his precious eyesight so that you could see who was anointing them? You didn't know before you were blind, and now you see. It is that precious, amazing grace, which is a precious, a sweet, and a wonderful sermon to your very soul at times when you look back and when you see the fulfillment of this precious gospel, that blind receive their sight. There's no peradventure about this. There is no doubt about it. Jesus sent the word that this should come to pass. And I would bless him at this moment that this gospel is still about to be preached, though very, very few really preach it. There's plenty of the letter of it. Dropped in the other day, the letter killing. You think of the letter, something you could learn here. You've never had it here. There's no power to it. Doesn't rest in your heart. That's the letter killing. You are saying, let me get out of it. I don't want it. It's not food. Someone said to me the other day, it's not food for my soul. I can't endure it. Give me Christ. This is what I love. Give me Christ. Give me his gospel. Give me eyes that I may see and behold that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now eyes and feet, the lame to walk. What a wonderful thing when the Lord gives us new feet, friends, to walk in his ways. See, they work together very well, don't they? Naturally. Our feet, our eyes together. If you have good eyesight, your feet follow on, don't they? You look where you're going, and there is a uniform, as it were, a union between your eyes and your feet. You're in the pathway. If you be called by grace, you'll find it at times a sweet pleasure and a privilege to walk in the things of Jesus, not a deep, a sacred place. grumbles. Something wrong. I look back to one or two times in my life, and if I express it this way, it's like this. When the precious gospel of Jesus Christ has been made so precious, so great, so wonderful, so amazing, so free, this is to be the fruit of it in my very soul. Sacred love and holy joy to Jesus Christ, the sinner's friend. And I don't know how else that I can express it, but that's what I felt toward him. That's when the very poor, the lame, the deaf, you see, we have no faculties like this for the gospel until we are born of the Spirit, until he comes and enlightens us and shows us the necessity of being in a way that only he can put us in. Now, do you believe that he is the Christ? Or are you in prison? Are you shut up? Are you destined? Have you no evidences? Or are they just completely gone blank upon you? And you cannot see that you're a real child of God. Perhaps you will be able to answer those questions before your Maker, because that is the one that we shall answer to. What think ye of Christ? What do we think? Have you ever heard of him? In the hearing of the ear? Think of all the sermons and that you've heard, listened to, times you've read. Although I wonder sometimes how many of us can really say that we heard the voice of Jesus saying, come unto me and rest. Have you heard? I often come into the old man said that to me once. Oh, I thought, oh, you are very near heaven. Very near heaven, you dear old man. As he told me his experiences, how the Lord had opened his eyes, how he blessed his soul, how he delivered him, how he caused him to walk in his ways, obey his voice, and we only hope to declare the wondrous gospel of Jesus. I never forget that dear character was like oil poured forth in my soul. Now you see, you will know something. The Lord doesn't leave his people all the time in a haze, not in a fog. He will give you a clearance sometimes so that you can read and hear and see and walk and understand. He doesn't withhold you those faculties that he has promised. If we are in Christ, if we are one of his body, then we have those parts of the faculties that are needful for the spiritual good of our own souls. And if he gives anything, is the things that are so essential, such as the hearing ear and the understanding heart. And do we think for a moment that we are left to have feet and legs that will walk in their own ways? Because if we don't know a difference, friends, on a change of walk and conduct, there is no difference in us from the ungodly. Let me tell you. No difference at all. I don't mind if anyone is offended about it. You come afterward to me and I'll explain fully what I would mean if I am from the pulpit and I want to. That change of heart will be a change of feet. And the change of heart will be a change of hearing. And the change of heart will be a change of conversation. And the change of heart will be a change of companions. None of you went further in an unregenerate state than this poor wretched sinner. Let me tell you, you couldn't have. I had to discover this and discovered it as the Lord showed it to me. As if it was a little here and a little there and a little going along, you deep the things behind. And you can't do it and won't do it of your own power, you never will. But he said, look, come unto me, and I will give you rest, and I'll give you these faculties, and you will have the gospel preached unto you, and it'll be with power sent down from on high. I've had it so deep. Does the gospel, does it proclaim in the ear of your soul peace by the blood of Jesus? Does it proclaim? Sometimes I sing this, or try to atone alone. What a divine harmonious sound the gospel trumpet gives. No music with it can compare. The soul that knows it lives. And what is that gospel? His name shall be called Jesus, because he shall save his people from all their sins. That's the gospel. The wretched, the poor, the miserable, the lame, the deaf, the outcast, those that are right to the end of the road, those that are tottering on the verge of hell, an almighty grace has saved them. Do you know it? Because I believe I do. And look back when I felt my very soul was being on the verge of it all. And God, who is rich in mercy, stretched forth his almighty hand and saved by his almighty grace. Jesus said, tell John again, tell him again. No doubt, I have no doubt at all. This raised up such hope in that dear man of God, John, shut up in prison, having nothing to look forward to. And the Lord sent to him what would still take place, what would still transpire by the proclamation and preaching of this glorious gospel. We should go on, we should go on. Satan, man, devils, none of them could ever stop this precious gospel, nor will they ever be able to empty ministers of it, but Christ will fill them. And he will find in many a heart a place for that gospel to drop in, and it will be like oil, or like rain on a dusty day when you hear, my soul is weary of everything. Christ will be. He says, I will come and refresh you. Refresh you with blessings from on high. And friend, you will forget all your troubles then for a little while. You will, I know this. When I've been so overlaid, I will remember, an old man, rector, mentioned many names in the pulpit, because I don't want to be harsh. But there was one most godly old minister that I really loved and esteemed. Dear old Mr. Hope of Abingdon. And I well remember when we went to hear him preach and he gave out this text, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest and broke him. I sat on that seat that afternoon and wept like a child, never to be forgotten. The poor, when you haven't any strength or any help to a doctor's, and when you can't see a way for to walk in or a way of deliverance, and Jesus appears, that's possible. He brings it, friend, and it's not dead, and it's not stifled, and the Lord has his own way and means today of still proclaiming and preaching these precious truths there, the gospel. Just look for a moment. What does it mean, the gospel? The good news. Good tidings from a far country, blessing. Good tidings from heaven. sent them right into the hearts of poor sinners to cheer and to animate their souls, to fill their heart with the love of Jesus. Oh, to have such precious visits in our poor, benighted minds and lives in this day in which we live. He has promised. He's promised. And you consider, there was a worse condition here, the lepers. I expect some of you during the last week have had a little touch of leprosy, haven't you? Spiritual leprosy. You've been made to cry unclean. Can ever God dwell here? Can he? You view your own bad heart. You see such evils there. The sight with horror makes you start and drives you almost to despair. And you feel I'm not fit to mix with God's dear people. Oh, I would bless him, friends, for this. Though he shows us what is in ourselves, when he shows us his dear son, there is something altogether different. When he shows us our vileness, our leprosy, our undone state and condition, and in exchange for that he gives us a revelation of Christ as the only way of salvation, it is then and then only that it does us good and Christ is real to us. Now I would ask for this. Don't think that I am at all in a bitter or a personal way about it. I don't know, sometimes I feel, do they understand the way I mean to preach? I don't mean to be in such a blunt way. The Lord knows it. I would only desire to stir you up, friends, for this end, that your end is fast coming. And I would ask you this. Does the Lord make you to know and to feel that you have a certain amount of malice within your soul and in your heart? Because the gospel will never be preached to that soul of yours unless you know first of all the matter. May say empty because it knows. Oh, thou hideous monster sin, what a curse hast thou brought in. All creation groans through the pregnant cause of misery. That leper soul, leper soul, you feel that you cannot dwell in the camp of God with his Israelites, his spiritual people, that you should be set aside by yourself, and yet you love to hear the Savior say, come unto me. You will come. You will come. I'm sure of this, because he had told. And his blessed book bears the end in it, because he said, by the prophet, drawn by the cords of love, the bands of a man, you will come to Jesus with all your burden. And when you come like that with your burden, the poor, the impotent, it means having no power, they have the gospel preached unto them. And you haven't any better provision than that, have you? Not a real one. Maybe some of you could concoct something in your own natural mind and say, well, here's a way. No, it's not. There's only one. This and this only is the way to know salvation by grace, and that is by divine revelation. As the whole matter is open to our hearts by the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. You believe? plaintiff's death, spiritually dead. A terrible complaint, whatever this is, the dead should be raised up. You don't expect to see men going about, do you, raising up dead bodies, or I don't. This is spiritualized and to show us the wonderful power that Jesus Christ has in raising these four things that are in such a dead state and condition spiritually. And there's one thing that does it. Could be more than one, but one important matter that does it. And that's the world and the things of it and the love for it. The love for the things of the world and the world. And that will then bring a spiritual death in our very soul. No good you say, well, I want to be like the Joneses and have all they want, you have it. And I tell you, you will be like the Joneses and you will work wherever they may be. And you will have a spiritual death as well. Spiritual death. You know what that is? Barren, death. What is the good of a sinner crying it, leave not my soul destitute, and then to plow headlong into all those pleasures and things and desires that the ungodly want? They want it, they have it. Do you? Do I? I don't know. I can tell you honestly this. I don't know during the last week in all my life when I felt so content with my lot, with what I've got, with what the Lord has given me, as I have during this last week or two. Felt I didn't want anything different about it. If anyone said to me, well, I'll give you a brand new car and take yours away, I should say, no, I don't want it. Give me Christ, or else I'll die. I don't want that yet. I don't want things to creep in upon my soul. Give me this peace, this holy joy, and this broken godliness with contentment is great pain. It is. Hold on to everything. Hold on to it. And I believe all the other will follow. I know it, I've seen it. He makes all his goodness. We mentioned at the end this morning to pass before us all of it. You consider all the cases here. There was nothing left out by this dear Redeemer, blind, lame, leprous, dead, poor. Have you ever suffered with more at once? Say, I'm spiritually impotent. I can't move. I have many powers at all, and you can't even cry. One says this to those dear ones that are found in such a condition. When you're helped and have a little breakthrough, the midnight of your soul is, then think on what your Savior bore. In the gloomy garden, sweating blood at every pore to procure your pardon. And I don't know of any other way to bring relief or to alleviate the conditions of the soul as just that sweet consideration and remembrance of Jesus in his bitter and sorrowful passion. That will be. Yes, friends, that will be the gospel, that precious good news from that far off country, and it will be brought to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord may sometimes use a man to do it, but you won't put the man before Jesus. You won't. You'll have to say, ah, that was the instrument. You may love him for it, and it's right, but you know the best lover He will be Jesus himself, and you will be brought to believe upon him and to believe in him. You think what it is. You could sit 1,000 years under the precious sound of the gospel, and it never have any effect on one day, one sermon, in 5 minutes, it enters the ear of your soul, and one word, Jesus is his name, and that's his gospel, and it's made out of brought out and made precious to your soul. It's true. I long sometimes to hear his gospel, and sometimes it has been only at the very end, and there have been probably 2 or 3 minutes or less than that, and it's got it. And my soul has enjoyed it, and I felt that's for me, that's for me. It's food. And you are growing grace, and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ as you sit under his shadow, the shadow of this gospel with great delight. Oh, to feed upon it, to feed upon Christ by faith in our heart. Now, it will be unto him, you see, because it can't come anywhere else. The forerunner, John the Baptist, he had no power even to believe in his own power. That power had to be given to him from above. Art thou he that shall should come, or do we look for another? Say, I say, oh, that man were about all the faith that heaven can give. Wait till the Lord shuts you up in prison, friend, some way, you see. Wait till the Lord moves in such a mysterious way on you, in your life, and then see how you would act and react when you're in prison. And you have to say, I am shut up, and I cannot come forth, and I feel like dear Jeremiah, there in the dungeon, and I cannot see the workings of a holy God. That is a sad condition to be in, I can tell you. Jeremiah knew it, Job knew it, and David knew it. And each one felt that all their enemies would one day triumph over them, but each one was brought forth, you see. I've often wondered what Jeremiah must have felt like when he was brought forth out of the dungeon, and Job to be raised up out of the ditch, and to have this language, he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, I know that he does. Friend, you will have this gospel. The Lord will give it to you. It'll be the knowledge of him. It'll be the application of the blood of Jesus and his righteousness that cover you, sinner, that there will be one day, a few moments, when you will be truly assured of your interest in the dear Redeemer's precious blood. Is that what you long for? Do you long that you may be one of these that can move about with feet and have for them to be moved with that powerful love and swift obedience to a precious Jesus, in obedience to his command and his will? It may not only be to the church, there are a thousand of other things that the Lord probably has in mind for you to do. It may be never be that for you at all. It may be. Now this is the why. Walk in. To be mysterious. Oh, what a wonderful thing if you've got ears. You have a ear, or ear, have a voice behind you saying, this is the one. He's given you an ear to hear his voice. What a blessing that is. Times it keeps coming into my heart, we told you. And it keeps coming, you know, nearly every week, I should think, sometimes during the week, not to please myself, but to please him. And if I please myself, I should go altogether different way, and act differently, But if I'm called to please the Lord, then there is a submission to his sovereign will, and he has a right to call us to a friend. Now I know whatever may come about, all will be well if Christ be mine. That will be the only way. And he said, the dead are raised up and the poor of the gospel preached to them, seeing that this is the truth, he will finally give them the evidence that there is truth. Now, where do we get the evidence from? Some say one thing, we read in Acts the Apostle, and some say another. Some say, well, I was brought up to it, and some say, well, I ought to get to heaven because of my behavior, and I say to them, well, the Lord never teaches that in his word. He says this, come unto me, and the characters concerned are sinners. And they all got these spiritual complaints that have been set forth, first of all in our text by Jesus himself, and I hope I believe every one of them and have felt them in my own soul. But now, lastly, the fullness of the love of Christ. Have you felt it? The love of Christ to you, to me, the gospel, which is full, set the poor guilty sinner free, and cause you to bless him for the conduct of his grace, and ever looking down in great mercy from heaven upon you, and in your sin-smitten estate some years ago, and has raised you up from that dead condition, giving you these feet to walk and eyes to see, and ears to hear his precious gospel, and to go with this, the poor, they're hungry and they're thirsty. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in, nor did God's people, until the gospel with renewed energy and power is preached into their very soul. And then they're able to declare it truly before him. There will Christ have all I want, all in all. In thee, I find we must leave it. Amen.